brothers and sisters. Just like to say how wonderful it is for the Armstrong family to come down to be with brethren and sisters of like precious faith, away from the hindrance of the world. And it indeed is a joy for all of us to attend gatherings such as this. Because ultimately, God requires that we all become fruitful. Fruitful trees, like our exhortation is entitled this morning. And the verse I was given by Brother Curtis to work from was in Psalm 148. If you'd like to all turn to that, that's going to be our main chapter for this morning, our main psalm. And in this psalm, it's a wonderful psalm to read. We have the whole of creation praising the Creator, praising Yahweh. Everything in that psalm is reflecting the glory of God. And as we have seen already this week from yesterday, for instance, Brother Gary, he spoke to us of lessons contained in various biblical trees. And as I said, today we're going to be talking about fruitful trees. Now with fruitful trees, there are two types of trees. Actually, we could consider it three types. We have those that have a great show. If we look outside of the tabernacle, I know these trees are not fruit trees. I believe they're oak trees. They're beautiful, large trees. They're of great stature. They fan their boughs in the scented air. But some of them have come under attack. And we know, we can just look down by the basketball court there. There's trees that the dead stock is laying there. Maybe these trees were of a great stature. Well, they all are. But did they have a root structure? Were they grounded to be able to receive all the nutrients to continue? Obviously, those ones did not. Hopefully, the rest of them here will remain, and they do have a good root structure. And the lesson we can look at with these trees as we look at ourselves, what type of tree are we? Are we the tree that shows up on Sunday morning but does not develop a root? Doesn't develop structure by studying the Word of God? Does not work in the truth, as we've been talking about, the idleness in our study class? Doesn't develop its root, doesn't work in the truth, and doesn't exhibit fruit in its daily life, fruits of the Spirit. Well, the opposite to that, and I hope this speaks of all of us, the fruitful tree that has a great root structure exhibits all the fruits of the Spirit and praises its Creator in the way required. And this morning we're going to look at the types of praise that our Creator requires from those who He considers fruitful trees. Now there's a great beauty in the book of Psalms, and really we could sum the book of Psalms into one category, a book of praise. Now most of the Psalms are written by David. And David's heart was in tune with the Father. If our hearts are in tune with the Father, then we are exhibiting fruitfulness. Now praise is an integral part of worship and something that God requires from all of us. Not just brethren and sisters. Let's look at verse 12. Both young men and maidens, old men and children. Now, there's some Christadelphians, I've known a few in my time, that prevent their children from singing hymns. That's not what we see David instructing us here. Young men, maidens, children. Obviously, children are not in covenant relationship through the waters of baptism with our Lord and Savior. But Yahweh knows this. Our children should be encouraged in all aspects of the truth. And they shouldn't have to wait until they're baptized to sing praises to their Creator. Look at verse 13. See what we're all instructed to do. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for His name alone is excellent. You see? Praise the name of Yahweh. We have here written, printed Lord. But Lord is a title. It's not a name at all. For instance, in the book of Daniel, we're told Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. We all know the story of Samson and what he did to the lords of the Philistines in the book of Judges. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we read in verse 5, "For though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all these." This we spoke of last night when Brother Jerry gave an excellent lecture. The Lord is very much a generic term. It refers to men who have attained a certain status through birth or by some other means. For instance, a marquis, an earl, a viscount, or a baron, all these men can be called Lord. Then we have the other extreme of things. We have those people who peddle illicit drugs. They're referred to as drug lords. Why do we call our Creator, who we are instructed to praise by the title of a man? Do you know what the word transliterated means? Brother Jerry spoke last night of God's name that should have been transliterated. It means that a name or word is represented by the closest available letters of the alphabet of a different language. For instance, we all know the well-known words of Yahshua when he was hanging there on a tree. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. A direct printing in our English Bibles of a different language, Greek words. Words that were not translated, but were transliterated. They were translated further in the text when we read, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see the Messiah using actual names of deity. Eli in the Greek, taken from the Hebrew word El, signifying the strength and power of God. We often relate this event to the Holy Spirit withdrawing itself from our Lord. When we talk of things that have been transliterated in the Scriptures, we see something very biased coming from the translators of our English Bible. Those who have a lack of understanding, those who of the so-say religious world, they call the archenemy of God Satan. We, of course, as Christadelphians, know Satan to be a noun and not a name. We understand it to mean adversary, one who is adverse to something, whether good or in a bad way. My point here is that translators put what they thought was the name of the enemy of God directly in the scriptures by transliterating it and not translating it. What's the Hebrew word for Satan? Satan. But when it comes to the name of Yahweh, the Elohim, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, they gave him the mere title of a man and called him Lord. Where is the justice in that? And most of mankind think that is an acceptable thing. Some just don't take the time to look at that and do study on it. When Jesus prayed, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Yet our Lord and Master lived on the earth during a time period when, out of superstition, men did not hallow God's name. They chose to call him something completely else. Why did they call him something else? If you go back to the time of Moses, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." That's not what was said at the burning bush, with the Ten Commandments, I mean. "Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy Elohim in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So later on, the Jews would not say his name because God forbade using his name in vain. So they figured, with Pharisaical, legalistic precision, that the safest way not to take his name in vain would be not to say it at all. This superstition still follows the Jews today. They choose to change his name to something totally different, so they will not take his name in vain. Instead of praising Yahweh, they inserted the title Adonai in its place. And this word Adonai has been translated and has been put in our Bibles as Lord. Yet we see nearly 7,000 times in the scriptures that God saw fit through the Spirit to have his prophets use his personal name, his name of Yahweh, in the Hebrew Old Testament. And where on earth did the word Jehovah come from? If we look at the board, we have here the way that the name of God was printed in original Hebrew. Now, ignore these red marks. So these red marks, and just like this, we have printed in our Strong's Concordance. These marks here are called vowel points, because the Hebrew language does not have any vowels. So these points were put here by Hebrew scholars in the 6th century. Why was that? The Hebrew language was in decline at that period of time, and in fear of the language being lost, they inserted these vowel points to make pronunciation of the Hebrew language more simple, so that the language would not be lost. Again, in Hebrew, they read from right to left, and we have YHWH. Here is the name of Yahweh. Now, how did we get to Jehovah? Well, if we remember, the Jews, out of superstition, would not pronounce the name of Yahweh. They chose to use the title Adonai. Now, when the Hebrew Old Testament was translated, it was translated originally into Latin.
a language which has no such letter Y in it. So they chose the letter J to take its place. Remember, the Jews, out of superstition, used the word Adonai to take the place of the name of God, which is Yahweh. And these vowel points here that were used to help in pronunciation were used to come up with the word Jehovah. And the vowel points from the title Adonai, meaning Lord, were inserted into these four letters, forming the word Jehovah. So we have three wrongs that make up this supposedly name of God. Brother Jerry spoke to us last night of three wrongs in his talk on the Trinity. There's a little bit of a connection in there, it seems. Now, medieval translators believed that YHWH should be read Yahweh, and the name Jehovah was incorrectly derived from that. Now, that's a quotation. I didn't get that from a Christadelphian writing. I didn't get that from another brother. That came out of the New Webster's International Encyclopedia. Even the world accept that the title of God is Yahweh, those who are learned in the world. Do we want to address the Creator of heaven and earth by a name that even the world agree is incorrect? Now, Brother Jerry last night, he gave a wonderful, wonderful lecture. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And everything he said was correct. But I just got to say that we showed, as Christadelphians, a little bit of inconsistency last night. We had a public lecture, and there were people here who aren't baptized, people from the world, did come last night. And Brother Jerry stated, and he was correct in what he stated, that Jehovah was wrong, that the correct name of God was Yahweh. And yet we stood up with our Christadelphian hymn book, and two of those hymns said Jehovah. That shows an inconsistency in what we're doing. Those of the world could, If they looked into that, they would see that we have an inconsistency. It's something we really need to think about. So what exactly is my point right here today, talking about the name of Yahweh, when we're supposed to be talking about fruitful trees and praise? Well, there's so much emphasis throughout the scriptures on praise that for praise to be a part of acceptable worship, then we really need to get to know God and have things right concerning Yahweh's names. And for us to get to know what someone is really about, we need to get to know them personally. We need to know what they're all about. And the first step of this is to get to know their name. Because if we don't, then sometimes bad things can happen. Hey, is that you over there, Cedric? Cedric?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. How's it going? You down here for the high gathering?
Well, yeah, I am, but my name's not Cedric.
Yeah, I'm having a good time down here. Are you Cedric?
Yeah, I'm having a good time, but my name is not Cedric.
Yeah, okay. I'm going back to work on Monday. I'm going to be back up in debt. I see you around at my place of work. Yes. Don't I, Cedric?
Yes, I work in the same place as you, but my name is not Cedric.
It's not? Well, I guess I'll see you at work on Monday, Cedric.
Well, I'll tell you what. My name is Lynn, not Cedric, and I'm your boss. And when you come to work, you can just clean out your desk because you're fired.
Now, don't worry. I'm not fired. Lynn isn't really my boss, but I just wanted to prove a point there. And if you go to a job interview and someone says, oh, I'm Mike Neely. Sorry, Mike, just saw you there. And you call him something else. You're probably not going to get the job. He's going to be offended. I know people call me things that aren't my name, and sometimes I don't like that either. Verse 12 of our psalm. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above heaven and earth. As we said, in the original Hebrew text, it does not say the Lord. It has the Creator's name printed, as we see, on the board, with no vowel points in it. And that name is Yahweh. And Yahweh wants us to praise his name, as it has always been that way. Whenever he sent people out as an army from his nation to conquer other nations, what were the Almighty's words? That they may know that I am Yahweh. Not to tell them I'm the Lord. Yahweh, or as Brother Jerry pointed out last night, I will be who I will be. It points forward to his name as a beautiful prophecy. A prophecy concerning us, if we are found acceptable at the judgment seat. The Lord God, or Yahweh Elohim, I will be who I will be, manifested in mighty ones. And those mighty ones, brethren and sisters, could well be us. And that there is the whole meaning of life. The whole meaning of God's plan and purpose with this earth and with man upon it. And could be concerning us if we do what's right. Through Malachi, Yahweh has said something very special to us if we think upon the things of the name. Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 16. Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, those that think upon my name. Do we want to be spared? Do we want to be spared by Yahweh as his special jewels? Maybe we all need to do a little more study on this. Let's consider for a few moments in the way that we are to praise Yahweh. We can praise God in several ways. ways that can be expressed outwardly in everyday actions, as well as inwardly in our thoughts and our meditations. During the singing of hymns, and of course, last but certainly not least, during prayer. We don't always pray in the same way. In fact, most of us pray in totally different ways. I'd just like to say that we shouldn't be slamming our brethren for praying in a way that is different to the way that we pray. Some of us use old-style English language. I'm one of those brethren that does that. I'm a thee and thou brother. There's some brethren that are you and your brother when they're talking to the Father. We have to realize is that Christ didn't speak modern day English. He didn't speak old style King James English. He spoke Hebrew, Greek, Latin, maybe a bit of Aramaic. He certainly didn't speak English. He certainly didn't use thee and thou. And he didn't use you and your. He did not speak the language of King James of England, nor the words that we find printed in the King James translated Bible from Hebrew and Greek into English in Anno Domini 1611. And we really all need to be careful that we don't judge our brethren when they're praying to God. They're praying on behalf of all of us. And we shouldn't judge. Because what if Yahweh is accepting that prayer? A prayer that we can't accept because our brother is using you or your or thee or thou? Something we should all really think about. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yahweh, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise Yahweh, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 99. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity, thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exhort ye Yahweh, our Elohim, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. We are to praise him for his holiness. We're to praise our Creator for his justice. We are to praise our Creator for his mercy. And there is not one of us here this week that doesn't need mercy. Psalm 135 tells us to praise him for his goodness to us. And he has given us goodness this week to allow us to meet here unmolested by those of the world in a time of freedom of religion. Praise Yahweh, for Yahweh is good. Sing praise unto his name, for it is pleasant. For Yahweh hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Yes, brethren and sisters, we should praise him for grafting us in into those covenants of promise, that we all may become spiritual Israel. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, almost lost it at the time, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Praise, praise, praise. Another part of praise to our Father is the one who God made a covenant with, David. And he did what he did in praise so well. And he did it with so much joy and with so much enthusiasm throughout his whole life. He did this through the use of the Word of God. He did this through music. He did this through singing. And he did this through dance. We often ridicule some of the churches of the world for the way they go on. The Baptist choirs and the evangelical singers, they wave their arms in the air, they clap their hands. And we might feel they're making a big scene. Now, although they don't know who they're really singing praises to, because of their lack of understanding, they do sing and praise to their God. They put their heart, their mind, and their soul into what they're doing. They put their whole emotion into their form of worship. Now, I've seen a video of our brothers and sisters in Kenya who also put great emotion into their praise of God. They use their bodies as instruments to glorify God. They clap their hands and they sing. I saw a brother Sid show me one time, maybe it was brother Ed Truelove, showed me a video of a brother Epaphras Wakadi giving an exhortation. And in the middle of his exhortation, he broke out in song. Now, I promise I won't subject you to that today. But there's emotion and joy and happiness going into this form of praise. And I've thought about this for a great deal of time, and I think we are all too reserved when we sing praises to our Heavenly Father. We quite often stand there and sing our hymns without a great deal of emotion. Some of us afraid that others might hear us. Quite often, there are those that stand out, and there's brethren and sisters here that stand out when they sing. And I just love listening to certain individuals that put a little extra effort into their singing, and they do stand out. They make a joyful noise unto Yahweh. Some sing loud. Some sing with harmony, singing different parts. I really love it at our meeting in Edmonton sometimes when this one particular sister is playing the organ. You know, I admire the organists, the pianists. It's a great deal of effort for them to get up and play all those hymns. This one sister, she'd be playing and she'd just start bursting out into song. Oh, I love it. If I find that a joyful noise unto Yahweh, how does Yahweh feel about us singing praises and making music to him? whatever our abilities, however we feel we sound, if our praise is to Yahweh, and if our praise comes out of our heart, then it will be a joyful noise unto Him. It will be acceptable in His sight, and so shall we. Look at the way David celebrated the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Because we're doing it for God, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy it. There was nothing reserved about David dancing before the Ark in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And David and all the house of Israel played before Yahweh on all manner of instruments of fir wood. Brother Gary brought this out yesterday in his exhortation, the different instruments that were made of woods of trees. Even on harps, on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. The whole band played. The whole band played while praise was being sung. Stringed, wind, percussion, all beautiful instruments were being played. When do we, in the Edmonton Ecclesia, the Lampasas, the Boston, the Hengoid, the Austin, the San Angelo, the Ohio, the Goldthwaite Ecclesia, the North Carolina Ecclesia, and I'm sorry if I've missed any of your ecclesias, when do we do what we are instructed to by David, right here, right now? Verse 14, and David danced before Yahweh with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Yahweh with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. David danced before Yahweh with all his might. He gave this form of praise to Yahweh with everything he had. And we all know the story of those who ridiculed him. For giving praise to Yahweh, people ridiculed him. His wife ridiculed him for praising the Creator of heaven and earth. And we all know what the result of that was. The words of Christ when talking about the commandments, that we are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. This is in all aspects of life and can be also demonstrated to the Father by the singing of praise and with music. I want you all to turn to Psalm 150. And I want you to remember this morning that this is the Word of God we are reading from. This is not the Word of Brother Steve Armstrong. This is the Word of God penned by David, who he made covenants of promise with. Psalm 150, starting at verse 3. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise Yahweh. Praise ye Yahweh. This is the word of God. This is what God requires from us, to praise Him in the manner that He has set forth in the Scriptures. Now, I want to give you a break right now from listening to my words. Let's put some of these aspects that we have talked about to the test by singing a hymn of praise to Yahweh. And like David, we're going to use the whole band to do this. We'll continue this morning in the praise to Yahweh through the words of Anthem 32. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. If you'd all stand, and we will now sing in praise to Yahweh, Anthem 32. Assistance. David said in the Psalms, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. And brethren and sisters, we have done that this morning. We have done that in praise to our Creator. May we, as brethren and sisters, continue praying and extolling our God, the God of our salvation, not only for the rest of this gathering, but also for the remainder of our probation while we wait upon the return of our Lord. And Yahweh willing, may we continue praising his great and wonderful name in our lives, in our actions, in our praise, our singing, our prayers, for the remainder of eternity.